You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Ichiban Sweetcast. Ichiban! Ichiban Sweetcast. There we go. It's another time for ISC, Ichiban Sweetcast. Are we calling this episode one yet? I think drunkenly I called mine episode three, but we've kind of been in the zeros. I don't know. Is it an official relaunch yet?
Nobody gives a shit.
Especially not our listeners. Let's call it number one. Let's call it the relaunch because we're going to talk about New Japan Cup. We're just going to give our overall thoughts. We're not going to break down every match because then I'd have to watch them all. And I'm definitely not going to do that. Especially with some of the ones that were on the fucking docket. So I think it's going to be fun for us to just have a little bit of an overall chat about our feelings of the tournament, how we're feeling about the brackets, the lineup, the wrestlers involved, and how we feel about how it all shook out in the end. What do you think about that, my man?
I love it. Can I tell you, the Rafe remix of the Ichiban Sweetcast theme song is my favorite song.
Because I do it live. I do it live every time. Hold on, I'm covering air. There's things happening. There's drama. So anyway, I'm going to remix for everybody while Curtis is just having another conversation behind your and my backs, listeners. I know, rude. But yeah, I've just gone back from Japan. If you whip on over to the Countout Patreon, you can hear me and Curtis talking about that, how hard it was for me to get to Japan in some of the worst travel I've ever had. How great Taylor Swift was, how great the country of Japan was. We didn't really break it down on that, but I did go see some wrestling as well, caught some Big Japan, caught some DDT. It was a really good time. So as I was saying in the intro there, no, I haven't got through every single match of the New Japan Cup yet. And I'll be honest, there was some rough going there. And yeah, that's exactly how it went. So Curtis and I are looking forward to chatting about it right now. I think I can stop vamping and he looks like he's ready to join the podcast.
Sorry about that. Little
that's all right. Little housekeeping.
Drama. We're all good.
A little bit of housekeeping. Everything okay?
Oh, yeah, Donna's not feeling well. She's not going into work today.
Oh, so. I saw her mere moments ago, and she was like, bye.
Yeah.
She got to the bus stop and turned around and was like, fuck it. I love that. I love that attitude. Yeah. I love that energy. It's like, you know what? I'm not here for it. Fuck it.
Yep.
Yeah,
yep.
Absolutely. So, she works hard. No she worries. Deserves a break.
Yeah, she works very hard.
Yeah.
She's a hardworking gal.
She is. Hardworking gal. She's a tattoo artist. She's been really under the weather
for the last few days.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. That's no good. I'm sure the listeners also wish her well.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, speaking of, another thing that we just saw while we were talking about our show, which is on Patreon, patreon.com/countoutpod. You can go ahead and listen to our Patreon-only show, The Sweet Spot.
I know. I already covered it while you were having another conversation behind mine and the listeners' backs.
Sorry about that. I realized something. Like in the mere minutes, the two minutes it took me to make a cup of tea between the time that you and I were talking and the time when we started this program.
Yes.
I referenced the X-Files episode, Die Hand, Die Verletzt.
Yeah.
And as I was walking to the kitchen, I realized that's probably German. Mm-hmm. And so I did a real quick Google and it is German for the hand that wounds.
Oh.
Die Hand, Die Verletzt.
Okay.
Is how the Google Translate put it. So there you have a little bit of German for the listeners.
There you go. And
it took me literally 29 years to figure that out.
There you go.
That came out in 1995.
We're giving everybody the scoops. That's quite nice of us. Multicultural podcast here. We've got Japan talk. We've got German talk. We're doing it all. But what we're mostly talking about is the New Japan Cup. So I want to get your thoughts, yes, my man. We're wrapping up. You and I haven't had a chance to talk since before I went to Japan. So we were kind of like, I guess, briefly sort of touched on what we hoped would happen in the New Japan Cup. And then the whole thing has sort of played out. So how are you feeling about it all, that it's wrapped up and wrapped up the way it did? Did you watch it live? I actually got to watch the final live.
I got to watch quite a bit of it live. Mm-hmm. There were, like you said, a lot of matches that were definite skips, yeah, ones that probably didn't need to be watched live. But I think, and I covered this in our breakdown, mm-hmm, the left-hand side of the bracket was very, very iffy.
It was rough.
It was full of holes, man. The right-hand side of the bracket is where most of the young blood was. Not young blood, young blood's in Germany, but like where most of the new era was.
Sure.
And so that was kind of where everyone's attention really was. I think they might have done a better job like planning that out.
Yeah.
You know, make those.
Well, that was the kind of thing, although, about it. It felt like a lottery, or like they just threw names at a dartboard to lay out the brackets, because not everybody in the New Japan Cup can be amazing or a superstar, especially when half your roster's been raided. But the very first New Japan Cup that we covered together was a tournament that we personally thought was absolutely full of holes. We thought the entire thing was fucked. And then as it played out, because the brackets were so good, it distilled down and really worked and became a really cohesive tournament. And it's probably still my favorite New Japan Cup. This one, it really felt like, yo, do we even look at the left-hand side of the bracket until we get a finalist, you know, because the who was stacking up against each other wasn't working. So I don't know whether, you know, maybe the tournament would have been a little bit more even and a little bit more enjoyable if they sort of reshuffled that a little bit, you know what I mean?
But here's the thing. We're looking at it from a Western point of view, which, sure, is the only thing we really can do.
Yeah.
The domestic fan base, they love those guys on the left. They want... Yeah, I mean, Shooter was there. Okay, cool. Okay. Lots of people love Shooter, but they also had Goto, Sonata, you know, Ishii was on the left-hand side of, yeah, the bracket, I believe. Yeah. So, like, you had people who are definite draws in Japan, and, like, we can't really be egotistical enough to say, oh, well, you know, that's not good enough for us, so.
Yeah, that's true. It's, and I like all the guys that you mentioned and things like that, but.
You don't like Sonata?
No. I'm sorry, I blanked out his name. I didn't hear that. But Goto and Yoshihashi and Ishii and stuff like that. Like, I like all those guys, the New Japan guys, you know what I mean? But it's a lot to ask of them to carry that side of the block when they haven't really been, you know, active or in their prime or doing as much, you know, like the
Bishamon have been doing tag.
Yeah, and then Shooter's out and Jack Perry's unproven and, you know, all these kind of things. So, but yeah, in the end though, long story short, it streams down. I will say Cobb really won me back in this tournament, in that first round match with Cobb and Tsuji was a fucking banger. That was really good. I really enjoyed it. I did not get to see, I only got to see Tsuji, I've only seen Tsuji's intro match and then his last match, you know. So how did he go in the middle there? Like, because did he wrestle ELP? Did he wrestle Shingo?
He wrestled Shingo. It was fucking awesome.
Yeah. It was no doubt. Good. Like, I know it. That's the first one I want to go and watch when I think. But I have no doubt. So he goes through Cobb, goes through Shingo, goes through Goto, and then is going to fight Naito, right?
I got to bring up the fucking New Japan Cup bracket.
Yeah. I feel like he fought ELP as well, but I don't know.
Did he? He might have. I don't know, man. I got to look at the actual.
I know. I was away. I've got an excuse.
You've got an excuse. I was also very tired. Yeah. So Ren Narita out of nowhere beating Taichi.
Yeah.
How'd you feel about Taichi going out? House of Torture, the worst heels in Japan because they took away the Taichi versus Zack Sabre Jr.
Yeah. See, I don't love that. They're protecting that match for sure. I would have loved to see that match, but I was not surprised to see Zach go out of the tournament because I think he's going to go really deep in G1, if not win G1. So it made sense to me that he wouldn't take out New Japan Cup.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. So then we had...
And we always scream for, like, New Japan Cup's the one that's supposed to launch the new star, and G1's the one that's supposed to solidify the, you know, the ace of the year kind of thing.
We also have recently said that we want to see New Japan guys in the New Japan tournament.
Sure.
Recently, you know, we want to see them buckle down, and this was them buckling down. They only had New Japan guys in the New Japan tournament. So
with the exception of Jack Perry, but hey, he ripped up his contract. He's a New Japan guy now.
Yeah. Yeah. So evidently they're not bringing him back anytime soon to AEW. Dave Meltzer, Stinky Uncle Dave, says that, Tony Khan basically blames him for losing CM Punk.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that is the kayfabe story. But I think
that's supposed to be behind the scenes stuff. Yeah. Like, that's what's really going down.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's definitely not just feeding that to the media, but, and, you know, to tie in nicely with the scapegoat gimmick. But I think that being in New Japan is the best possible thing that could happen to Jack Perry. I think if he sees out like a long-term sort of run in New Japan, by the time he leaves it, he'll be a huge star, and he'll drop into AEW like a fucking behemoth. You know what I mean? Like, he just needs to see it through. They're already on the right track with him. Like, you can see it.
We'll spend all that time building him up, making him you know, a bona fide certified star, and then he'll go to AEW.
Yeah.
Huh.
That is what we'll
do. That happens a lot, doesn't it?
that's what we're going to do. But that's what we do. And yeah, I think he'll be way better for it, and I'm sure he's very happy to do it. So yeah, no, I'm excited to see that play out. So I was very surprised to hear that Goto was in the finals, but I wasn't all the way.
I don't think Goto was meant to be in the finals because it was supposed to be Goto versus Dave Finley in the finals, and then Dave Finley got sick, had to go to the hospital, so they took him out of the match.
Oh, really?
So Goto got the I imagine Goto sitting at home, and he says to his wife, I got a bye in the first round. You know, I'll be going out to Dave Finley in the semi. It's going to be a real short tournament for me. No problem. Yeah. Uh-oh, I'm in the finals.
Yeah. They're like, Goto, we're going to need you to win it. He's like, put anybody else over. I can't go that. I've got to spend time with my kids. Like, I can't.
Yeah, I got to go fishing.
They're like, you could finally have that title. I don't have time for the title run. I don't. I have shit to be doing.
I don't.
Exactly.
There's a fucking baseball game at 3 and a dance recital at 7.
You want, get it? You want to call my fucking wife? You want to tell her that I'm going on tour as the world champion?
Explain it to Miss Goto?
Is this on you? Hey, but no, he doesn't want any part of that.
It's an excellent ghetto.
But that's how it would have gone down. So he would have tapped out. But Goto has just enough like credibility that I wouldn't, and especially with the current booking and things that have changed, I was like, I could see him winning it. There's no reason
especially
why they
New
couldn't.
Japan Cup.
He's
a monster in the New Japan Cup.
There's no reason they couldn't have just tapped him on the shoulder and gone, you know what? You and Naito, Sakura, Genesis, sell it out, bro. And he'd be like, yeah, sweet. Like, fucking, he could do it. And people would go and see it, and it would be a great match. And so I was like, maybe Tsuji isn't going to win. Maybe they're just going to give Goto a bit of a tap on the shoulder.
There was definitely an undercurrent on wrestling Twitter of people who were like, you know what? Fuck yeah, let's go.
Yeah, like.
Let's go Goto.
Like, they've reset the title lineage. Maybe Goto just fucking beats Naito for it. Maybe he gets a nod before his fucking career finishes. You know what I mean? Maybe he gets to hold it like as an interim champion for a hot minute because, you know, maybe Naito isn't as healthy as we think. You know, you never know
Hold it through G1, that'd be fucking cool.
It'd be sick. And everybody would love it because he deserves it and he fucking works hard. So, yeah, I was definitely – he's got enough credibility that it put a question mark over that match that I was like, I don't think it's guaranteed that Tsuji's going to win here, you know? And I really enjoyed the match. I thought they were great. Goto can always turn out when he needs to. Tsuji clearly can. And whenever you put him with somebody that's experienced, he just gets even better. The Goto doing the Rainmaker, getting reversed into the spear was sick.
Awesome. That little short spear that he did.
Yeah, the short arm spear thing. That was
bad,
dude. Dope. It was dope. It was really cool. But by the end of it, I was blasted all over my jeans by the time it was done. And I was like very, very happy with it.
What do we call a short jean blast?
A short?
Premature blastuation?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Premature blastuation.
Yeah. He hit him with the premature blastuation and fucking, and then got up and finished him off with a full gene blast.
Oh, he went out like afterwards. It's hard to recover from that, you know.
Not for Soji.
From the premature blastuation.
Not for Soji. Yeah. He's experienced.
He's been having his, man.
Yeah, exactly right. He's no issues at all. So, yeah.
He's a young man. It happens.
Soji wins. How do you feel about that? We got what we've all been yelling for. Young talent getting pushed. A young guy, one of the Three Musketeers, won the New Japan Cup. So, woo.
I don't think it could have gone any better. Like I said, like in my
– I mean, the tournament could have gone better, but like him winning is best case scenario.
I don't think the tournament could have gone better. I mean, like
– I mean, if you switched up the brackets, it could have gone better.
Okay, yeah.
Matchly.
But like what we had from the brackets, I think it was a very good tournament. Mm-hmm. It was a good turnout as far as crowds. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of great matches. I mean, people may say, oh, it's not up to the normal standard, whatever. But
to be fair, I'm being pretty judgy for somebody that hasn't watched every single match. So I guess I got to shut the fuck up a little bit. The ones I did see, I did enjoy the matches, like Gabe Kidd and Callum Newman was really fun.
Gabe Kidd and Shingo.
Gabe Kidd and Shingo was really good. Tsuji and Cobb. Who'd Hikuleo versus first? Oh, Bolton Oleg.
Bolton. Fucking Haas, Bolton Oleg.
Yeah, yeah.
That guy should have gone through. That'd be the best case scenario.
Yeah, that would have been.
Like, when we look at it all, the best case scenario that I came out with was David Finley versus Yota Tsuji. Mm-hmm. And we were this close to that. Yeah. We were this close to
and that's what, and then that's when you hit the heel turn and said that you wanted Finlay to win to make all the fans upset.
Let's go, Debbie-chan.
Which I loved. But I agreed with your best case scenario, like for the most part. I was like, it would be sick if it got to that point. And yeah, and Tsuji doing it and then leading to a confrontation with Naito was really interesting and cool. So I think they've made the most of that.
Can we talk about this? The cards have been announced for Sakura Genesis.
Oh, yeah. Hit me with it.
Okay. First up, very first match. Mm-hmm. Ryusuke Taguchi and El Desperado versus Zack Sabre Jr. and Kosei Fujita.
Okay. That'll be fun.
Okay.
It's an interesting pairing because neither team is like really heel or anything, you know what I mean? It's kind of like an all face, whatever. I'm into it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's leading to something. El Desperado to Team DK, confirmed.
El Desperado with the orange mask instead of the red or white mask. That'd be fucking sick.
Yeah.
All right, next up, LIJ, which is Bushi and Hiromu versus Ghetto and David Finley.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, we're just moving on from that one.
Yeah.
Third match.
Interesting.
Just three of the guys, Doki, Yuya, and Sonata, mm-hmm. versus Callum Newman, Great O'Conn, and Jeff Cobb.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't know if there's going to be some like leadership struggles coming out of that or, you know, something. Mm-hmm. Let's build from there. Fourth match. This is where it starts to get spicy. It's a three-way tag team match for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championships. Clark Connors and Drilla Maloney, the War Dogs, versus Catch 2-2, mm-hmm. versus Kushida and Kevin Knight, the Intergalactic Jet Setters.
Oh, Kevin Knight back.
Yeah, buddy.
That's interesting.
Sounds like a good one, yeah?
Yeah, I'm into that. I didn't think we'd see Kushida or Kevin Knight back anytime soon, so that's cool.
I know. I'm excited for it. Yeah. I wonder what they're going to do with Francesco Akira from this.
Yeah.
Because Akira was a big part coming out of Will Ospreay's final match.
Yeah.
I think that Akira is primed for like a big solo run in the junior heavyweight division. Mm-hmm. TJP, you know, he wants to be the leader of the United Empire. Yeah.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah. Is Akira gonna, you know, like kick him out and like fucking, you know, become the leader and turn the group heel again or something? I don't know, man. It, like the things they could do with that match alone, the War Dogs, the United Empire faction, and seeing Kevin Knight back in New Japan, there's some interesting shit that could come out of there.
Yeah. Could we see, because I mean, Kushida's contracted to Impact for what I understand. Could we see Kevin Knight make a move and break up with Kushida and join a faction or something?
Kevin Knight the War Dog?
Kevin Knight to War Dogs, confirmed.
Confirmed.
Oh, that would be sick. That would be sick. Can I ask you, I haven't had it. I've been meaning to go back and watch the post-match comments, but I haven't seen the post-match interview where TJP kind of declares himself the leader of United Empire. What's the vibe from the other members of United Empire regarding this? Because they were all like, we don't need a leader, and then he's out here saying he is. So is there sidelong glances? Like, is there, like, what's happening?
It seems like there's a lot of sideways glances, and there's like, oh, really, you son of a gun? Like, it's just a very toxic environment right now, it seems.
Yeah, you know? they're hitting different at the moment, like as they were entering and stuff like that. It doesn't feel all that united. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see what's coming of that. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Fifth match, we've got IWGP Tag Team Championship match, Chase Owens and Kenta, who are still somehow Bullet Club, versus Bishamon.
Okay. Quick title drop. Don't hate that.
Yep, not bad. Mm-hmm. Next up, we've got
the record. I'd much prefer TMDK to be fucking in that slot.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? It would be nice.
IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship match. You're going to love this one. Sho versus Yo.
Oh, I haven't seen that 50 million times. I'm sure.
Sho has beaten Yo five of the seven times they've had singles matches.
I hope Sho retains. That's what I hope.
Me too.
I don't need Yo.
Although I do love Yo. I think this new Yo is fucking wild and I love him. Okay, check this one out. Seventh match. Mm-hmm. House of Torture, Ren Narita and Jack Perry versus Shota Umino and John Moxley.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. That's not who I thought you were going to say. I thought it was going to be like, and X, and it would be like KMA or something. But yeah, Moxley's coming over for it. Interesting. He's like, whenever Shooter's in trouble, he just calls his dad, basically.
Calls his dad. He's like, hey.
But not even his real dad, the other dad.
The other dad, because his real dad's the, you know, the most down the middle referee who will not call his son's matches improprietally.
I
like this. I think it's going to be fun. There's a little bit of an AEW connection. A bit of an AEW connection there, which is kind of, it gave me pause at first, but then I was like, no. It's okay. These are New Japan contracted wrestlers. Let's just chill.
Sure. Mox always hits different and hits better in New Japan.
So good in New Japan.
Yeah, it'll be great. I think it'll be a really good match. And I think when you're talking investing in Jack Perry's growth, I think, you know, a match with Moxley is only going to help that. You know what I mean? Having like such an experienced American guy there as well. You know, I think it's cool.
Yeah, I think you're right. Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Eighth match. Never Open Weight Championship, Evil versus Shingo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel fine about it. I saw Shingo holding up the belt after they did that tag match or whatever the other night, and I suspected that was probably the way it was going to go down. I don't hate it. It's fine.
I hope that they can have a great fucking, even if there is House of Torture shenanigans at the end, I hope the first like 70% of this match is just all fucking lariats and fucking suplexes.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And like if it breaks down into Shingo versus all of House of Torture and beats them all himself, that would still be sick. So I have no issue with it.
Are they going to run that back after they just did it for Yoda Tsuji?
Yeah, absolutely. They're going to run it back forever. But okay. Shingo can have a good match with anybody. You know what I mean? You don't see bad Shingo yes. matches, so it'll be fun. It'll be good.
My favorite evil match of all time is one that had Shingo in it.
Yeah, right.
So there you go.
I like that
they were on the team at the time, but you know,
whatever. Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I like the match between was it Evil and Hanare, where fucking Hanare just like punches out the fucking chair. Like just
that was sweet. And then finally, our main event, the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship, Tetsuya Naito versus Yoda Tsuji, Gene Blast.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Feel good about it. Do you think we see, what do you think we see here? Do you think we see straight down the line, fucking Tsuji gets humbled, falls back in the line? Or do we see an angle here? Do we see that fucking big pirate luchador come in and do you see like Tsuji trying to take control of the faction? Do you see an angle or do you see a like, thank you for the match, sir. Good night.
I don't know. And I'm so excited yeah. for it, man.
That's like, the okay. great part.
So
uncharted waters.
2020, Evil wins the New Japan Cup, mm-hmm. leaves LIJ and becomes world champion.
Yes.
2023, Sonata wins the New Japan Cup, leaves LIJ, and becomes world champion.
Yeah.
I don't think Tsuji's going to leave LIJ, so he probably won't become world champion.
But it's a trend. It's an interesting trend to play with.
Is that the thing, though, like where, like, LIJ, like, you become a better wrestler wrestling with Tetsuya Naito, mm-hmm. but you have to break out. Yoda Tsuji to the United Empire confirmed.
New leader of United Empire, you reckon yeah. jumps to a different no. faction?
No, I don't think they'll run that story back a third time.
Like it's more likely that like takes over / ousts him. Just because, you know, you'd have to be thinking well, Naito's health is getting to the pointy end is how I'm feeling about it.
Well, the thing is, like, Shingo won the belt while still in LIJ.
That's true.
So, I mean, there's no reason you can't do it.
Yeah.
But, like, it's funny because even when Shingo was world champion in LIJ, like, Naito was still the leader.
Yeah, yeah. He didn't win it from Naito, though. That's the...
No. Beat Okada for it, though.
Yeah.
That's something. Naito had a problem doing that a couple of times.
Yeah. Well, this is true. It's interesting. It's very interesting. Either way, I like the place we're in. I like all the unknowns because as we just ran through that card, there was a lot of unknowns there. Like, there's not really a
status quo. I think that's going to be a really good show.
Yeah, I think so too.
I've got a friend who's going over there. My friend Paul that I play Blood Bowl with, mm-hmm. his wife and her son,
yeah.
or their son, are going to Japan and they're stopping at a Corican Hall Road to Sakura Genesis show.
That's
fine. And I was telling him in the car the other day, I was like, man, I'm so fucking jealous. Like
it's so fun. I wish I was going to this Sakura Genesis. You know I only just got back from Japan, but I wish I was going to this one because I feel like it's a better card than the one I went to last year. That said though, I still got to see some awesome shit, but you know,
yeah.
didn't need to see Sonata win the belt. So
nobody wants that. This seems like Tsuji has just jumped light years ahead.
Yeah.
In the race. I mean, this is now his second challenge for the world title.
Yeah.
He's won a New Japan Cup.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
he's got to be proving himself. Like he gave Sonata one of his best title defenses easy. You know, like that was his first match in Sonata's defense. Like that was a sick fucking title match.
Yep. Yeah. And I like everybody else fucking, you know, so we've got Ren fucking around in House of Torture. You know, he's a bad guy now. That's cool. I like it.
He is cool.
We've got shooter who can't fucking defend himself has to call his fucking dad every time.
Yeah.
We've got Yuya, bald. You know, I can't say much.
Bald.
Can't say much.
Yeah. Plus, bald. I mean, he but. Hasn't... I mean, he hasn't really had many singles matches. You know what I mean? So he's still kind of unproven. Like, he's mostly just been doing tag stuff and things like that.
He's had two singles matches, one against Tsuji and one against Tsuji.
Yeah. So. Exactly right. Oh, who was he against in the New Japan Cup in that first... Was it Shingo?
Oh, gosh. Let me bring it up here. I don't have it still.
Was it Yuya versus Shingo first? I feel like it was, but yeah.
Give me a second. Oh, come on. There it is. 2024 bracket was Shingo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got smoked right
exactly.
away.
Yeah, exactly. It was good, though. It was good. It wasn't like Shingo's
it was a good
best
match.
Match.
It was a good
time,
match.
But it was solid.
Shingo.
Yeah.
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 Shingo beat him. So I think, like, when you look at it, Ren Narita did have a pretty good run. Mm-hmm. He beat Tai Chi. He beat Zack Sabre Jr. and then ran up against the eventual winner.
Yeah.
So there's no shame in that. Mm-hmm. Yuya got geeked in the first round. Shooter got geeked in the first round. And yeah, Hikuleo had a, he's not one of the, he's one of the young guns or whatever that they're trying to push. So,
I mean, a lot of them Yuya got knocked out by a very experienced former champion and the others all got done in by a House of Torture bullshit.
Yeah. Yep. I think you're right. That's that. It does seem like House of Torture bullshit, like, kind of, there was so much House of Torture all over this bracket that, like, it really, you could tell a lot of people were very pissed off. Like, you yourself said you just skipped every House of Torture match.
Well, not necessarily. I don't mind House of Torture. They were just in matches against people that I don't have faith could then also have a good match against a House of Torture member. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, well, the combination of these two is not exciting to me, you know.
Did you see the on Twitter? I reposted it from our official Twitter. The House of Torture like playing cards that someone made that had the seven deadly sins on them.
On our Twitter, I'll have a look.
On our Twitter, yeah, they did. So it's the seven members of House of Torture,
sure,
as the seven deadly sins. So like, Jack Perry is Envy, and. You know, Pimp is definitely lust. And that Ren was.
Oh, yeah, I see.
What was it? I don't remember what it was. They were so
Ren
fucking
is Wrath.
Cool.
So Jack is Envy. Ren is Wrath. Dick to Go is Greed. Evil is Pride. Sho is Sloth. The Pimp is Lust. And Uncle Nobu is Gluttony, and all of those fit perfect.
Doesn't it though?
Yeah.
It's so fucking cool.
It literally works perfectly. That is what they are.
Yeah. They've made them into like hologram stickers and stuff like that. Fucking sweet.
Yeah. That's so cool. Are they like a real thing?
I don't know that they're selling them or anything like that, but yeah, they made like big, like tarot card stickers of them.
Yeah. That's sick. That's really cool. I love it. Yeah, absolutely. That is what they are. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yeah, House of Torture is like, it's over, man. Like, people love it.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's the thing is, like, we in the West, we're always, oh, House of Torture, blah, blah, blah. And then we turn around and watch AEW and WWE. So, like, fuck did, us.
Joel from Super J-Cast on the most recent episode. No, it wasn't Joel. No, it was Josh on WeWork Stiff. I'm sorry. I've been catching up on all my podcasts, but he read out an interview from Kenny Omega in 2017, and he was talking about a nameless faction. And the kind of stuff he was saying is the stuff people say about House of Torture now, but what he was talking about was Suzuki-gun. And then Suzuki-gun go on to become, like, so beloved, they fucking, you know, they retire or break up the faction in tears in the ring, and now all the dudes are like the top guys, you know. So it's like they will eventually turn a corner where these guys are all the fucking dudes, you know what I mean? Once they separate and do different things and stuff like that. You can see such huge upsides for guys like Ren, Sho, you know, Jack Perry, even Evil got way more in him. You know, he wrestles a certain way now, but there was also a time when he was fucking cool ass, you know, like there's things that can happen there for sure. Yeah, it's yeah, very cool.
I think. Mm-hmm. So overall thoughts on the New Japan Cup bracket. Is it sweet or is it sour?
I was going to say, we need a new rating system, but you've already invented it. I would say sweet, because at the end of the day, it's all about where it gets to, right? Where it takes the story. And I think we can all agree that we're very happy with a young guy getting a chance to be launched out of it in like an exciting way. So I think that's the right call. And I think he's the right one too. I think he's the most polished out of the guys, like of all the Musketeers and D'Artagnan, so to speak. Like I think he's the most ready and the most complete. And I think you can elevate him real quick to be in, you know, that main event scene.
Damn right. Mm-hmm. Damn right. So I think we call that good. Real quick, mm-hmm. before we go, because mm-hmm. this is also turned into our fucking Sakura Genesis preview.
Sure.
Who you got? Naito or Tsuji? Who you got? Give us a way too early prediction.
I'm just going to call for Tsuji because I'd love it to happen. I feel like it's the world title and not the IWGP title, you know, so that lineage has been reset. They've flipped it a few times. A few different people have had it. I feel like Naito's role isn't really as the dominant champion. It's as like the underdog and also like what we know about his health and stuff. And why not strap up the young dude for a hot second? You know what I mean? Like I think that could be really interesting. That said, has Naito had his title match against Moxley yet? And will he have that before Sakura Genesis?
I think it is before Sakura Genesis.
Cool. I was going to say, if there's a Moxley title shot still to come when Sakura Genesis happens, that's not happening. That match is going to happen. But if that's already done and dusted and it's, you know, Tsuji's the only contender in line, then I would say Tsuji could potentially win. I'm going to manifest. I want it to happen.
They sold out the building on just Moxley versus Naito without, you know, without really worrying about that too much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, is it? Do we really?
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily need to be a title match.
Does it need to be?
No, yeah. Not really. Absolutely. I think you're right. I don't think it matters. But yeah, so hopefully.
No, so, I'm sorry. Sakura Genesis is before Windy City Riot.
Yeah,
it's 6 days before Windy City Riot. I got the dates backwards. One was Windy City Riot's on the 12th. Sakura Genesis is on the 6th.
Sure. I think maybe then – I still think it's maybe most likely that Naito retains and it leads to that Moxley match. But I don't hate it and I would love to manifest a young champion in Tsuji. That would be cool.
But I dig it.
Yeah.
I'm into that.
But more than likely – yeah, no, you know what? I'm not gonna put logic into it. I'm going best case scenario. Best case scenario, Tsuji takes it. That'd be exciting.
Hell yeah.
Hells yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hells yeah. All right then. What do we say now? What's all our outs and stuff like that?
Style it strong.
Oh yeah, I know the little saying. I mean, what do we even plug? Do we even have Twitters anymore? Do we have handles? I don't even remember.
I no longer have a Twitter. I have Instagram, eldestructo83.
Yep.
You can find the podcasts, Twitter and Instagram at Ichiban Sweet. And your personal Instagram and Twitter?
Mm-hmm. At Faces Feels Cast. That is where you can find everything, me and the Faces and Feels podcast. It's my interview series. I do have interviews with New Japan talent on there. You can find conversations with the likes of Robbie Eagles, with the likes of Hanare, and coming up very soon within the next few days with TMDK's Mikey Nichols. We had a great conversation, absolutely great guy, and I'm looking forward to dropping that. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
I'm so excited to listen to that, man. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. I think you are going to enjoy it because he is a very nice man. So yeah, we say the thing. We say, rate and subscribe, listen or die, bring the fight, style is strong, sweet cast, Ichiban.
Ichiban. Ichiban.
Bitchy Barn Sweetcast. Itchy Barn. Itchy Barn Sweetcast.
This has been a Count Out Podcast. Every year, the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame receives a new crop of potential inductees. And on our new Count Out Patreon series titled The Ballot, it's our job to discuss whether or not these newbies should become Hall of Fame wrestlers. Hello, my name is Ryan Knightsey, and every month, a guest and I will analyze the regional careers of newly balloted wrestlers for the Observer Hall of Fame. Are they day one votes? Do they belong at all? Find out on The Ballot every month on patreon.com/countoutpod. Again, check out The Ballot on patreon.com/countoutpod. We hope to see you there.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.